You're listening to a Rig Train Masterclass, supported by the Radio Independence Group and Creative Skillset, independent training for the UK radio production industry.
I'm slightly uneasy about the term sound designer, in radio at least, because I think it was Walter Murch, who you may have heard of, who was a very well-known, he's still alive actually, brilliant editor and sound designer. He that first came up with the term. I think it was a way of encompassing the task of being responsible for the sound of a movie, whether, and that might mean being involved with the recording as well as the edit and the final mix. And I think it was also a way of trying to acknowledge a bit of the creativity of some of the sound people. But I'm a bit uncomfortable being called a sound engineer in radio. I mean, I've been called a sound engineer, I've been called a technician, and the BBC has this term studio manager, which I think is exclusive to the BBC, which always sounds a bit bossy. I tend to call myself sometimes a sonic administrator. Because actually taking care of sonic business, whether it's for a radio program or a TV show or an art installation, is what I do. So the first clip I'm going to play you...
For the last year, I've spent every working day trying to figure out where a high school kid was for an hour after school one day in 1999. Or if you want to get technical about it, and apparently I do, where a high school kid was for 21 minutes after school one day in 1999. This search sometimes feels undignified on my part. I've had to ask about teenagers' sex lives, where, how often, with whom, about notes they passed in class, about their drug habits, their relationships with their parents. And I am not a detective or a private investigator, I'm not even a crime reporter. But yes, every day this year, I've tried to figure out the alibi of a 17-year-old boy.
That's right, it's Serial. I think it's possibly the most, is it the most popular podcast ever? Yeah. If what you hear there is anything to go by, and I might play a little bit more in a minute, it's very, very simple. It's just a voice and a bit of music. And it's probably recorded in a studio. And a lot of the radio that I work on, that I help producers make, is a bit like that. It's in terms of layers, it can just be one or two. So that's, again, you might say, well, that's not sound design, is it? Well, I argue that it is sound design. It's not sound design like Hollywood sound design. It's not managing 200 tracks. It is sound design, though, because it's taking care of business. It's papering over the cracks. It's making something slide into your ear in an easy way. Whether that means de-umming or changing the pace of things or levelling things or de-popping. It's all these little things. It is sonic admin, it's what I say. Pace is a different thing. Pace can be more almost like a creative decision, and I do a lot of that. I mean, a lot of the times when people come to me, what I'm doing is not strictly mixing, but I'm pacing, and I'm opening up spaces because I think the rhythm's wrong. It's always a big warning sign when you see someone who's edited a sentence together, that it's such a butcher's shop job. Okay, so let's get a little bit more layered. This is another programme. This is something I mixed. It was produced by a producer called Eleanor McDowell at Falling Tree, and it's about something called roller derby, which is an amazing sport on roller skates. It's pretty rough. And she did this documentary about a team that do it, and I helped her with some of the recording. Clip mics on the skates, and so there's lots of nice sound effect textures, and this is an example of this in the mix. I think of it as a kind of dance. So you've got speaking voices, then you've got effects, actuality if you like, then you've got music, and the three kind of compete for your attention, but it's a constant kind of up and down.
My heart always races right before the first scrimmage. It's not even a game, but it goes. All right, that's us, guys. Tammy, don't forget it's okay to hit the other jammer sometimes.
Hold her! Keep her! Slow down! there's some sort of bliss that I find in roller derby.
I want to see them.
It's just fun. There's this joyful yet violent aspect to it. It really is a way of life, whether you want it to be or not.
Did it hit him in the face? I'm sorry, that's not funny. That's not funny.
The hits are so hard, like you can feel it vibrating through the floor sometimes.
I love it when people do these really dramatic, huge falls and then everyone kind of goes... It's like a moment of sort of fear.
Are you all right?
And then they just bounce up and everyone's like, yeah, get back on, killer!
Go, Tammy, go, 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 go!
We've been playing to train!
Somebody get on scene!
In the mix, it's a case of kind of keeping the story, keeping the energy. I think you really feel the kind of impact of the sport in that. I'll play something really different now. This is. I don't actually do very much drama. Mostly seems to be docs for some reason. But this is a drama I worked on, and it was recorded in Australia. It was recorded in a studio, so all the actors were recorded completely clean. And it's set in a sort of haunted house, and there's a piano that's possessed. And this woman is sitting at this piano trying to play, and one of the notes keeps sticking. So what I had to do is I recorded a pianist playing a piano, and then I sort of prepared it, as they say, when you get inside a piano, to make one of the notes stuck. And then I kind of edited it all together. And so the actress that you hear was in a studio in Sydney without a piano. And this is called Echo Point. So that was slightly more sound design, in that you're creating an environment that never existed. Room tones, reverb, to give you a sense of this ballroom that she's playing in. And then obviously trying to kind of edit the piano and so that you did get the feeling that that actress was really playing it. You know, one key thing I always say to people, I say, just get close. You know, even if you can understand the person speaking, does not mean the microphone is getting a nice clean signal. And if you're in a situation with any amount of background, like a bus or a train or a cafe, you have to get a lot closer than you think. Because that's always... I mean, I'm going to play you something in a minute which will slightly disprove that, but that's always my biggest complaint, is that you're struggling to understand what someone's saying, and they're saying something amazing, and it's just such a shame, and you can't... There's nothing you can do in the mix. I suppose the situation of being someone who mixes documentaries is that a lot of the material you're getting is not recorded in ideal conditions, it's not pristine, and you're kind of making the best compromises sometimes. A real case in point like this came to me recently. It was a thing for World Service about Greyhound buses, and a really, really nice idea. It was made by, she's really a journalist called Laura Barton, who writes for The Guardian, and she was going to do this thing about Greyhound buses anyway. So Alan Hall, at Falling Tree, said, well, why don't you take a recorder, gave her some crash course in recording, and sent her off to do interviews and record buses and things. And what came back was nice, but I was just wincing all the time at how much background noise there was. I was just thinking, I cannot save this. This is not going to work. And feeling a bit impotent, really. And that's always a horrible thing when you're tasked with trying to make something sound nice. And when you just reach a point where you think, I can't do anything about this, that'll never sound nice, or it'll never sound clear. But when you listen to what I'm about to play you, actually, I don't think you're going to notice that it's badly recorded. And I think the reason it doesn't sound bad, actually, is because it's a blend of stuff that's been recorded on a Zoom with lots of background noise, and then her voice has just been recorded in a studio, and then some music. So as long as it's not all horrible, or all badly recorded, if you have some nice kind of ear candy, then the rough stuff actually can add a sort of texture to it.
Did I bring you in at 2 in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you have a safe ride?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Sunday morning, Detroit bus station, and I'm at the beginning of a 4-day trip through the American Midwest. on a Greyhound bus. The air is restless at this hour, rough with the scent of vending machine coffee and the rumble of suitcases, the hiss and huff of the buses outside. A couple holds each other by the ticket counter. A young girl twirls between the seats. Cold sun presses through the plate glass as we sit waiting, waiting, waiting. When the moment comes, it's with a shout and a rush. There is one last cigarette, one last kiss goodbye, and the line forms, a straggle of road-weary travellers and the newcomers, sweet with anticipation.
It's my first time. I'm really excited. I'm nervous, though. Kind of want to think of it like riding a bus when I was a kid to school and stuff like that, but just a lot more luxurious.
Just a few things to get out of the way. Federal regulations states there's no drinking, no smoking. Not a Greyhound rule, it's federal law.
Greyhound 100.
Restroom in the back for your convenience.
With me, Laura Barton.
Please consider your neighbor that has to come behind you in the restroom.
The first leg of my journey takes me through Michigan and Indiana, through Ann Arbor, Toledo, Fort Wayne.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind, if you would just have your next transition ticket available.
At this hour, many of the passengers are sleeping, heads resting against the window panes as the land rushes by, broad-skied and wintering. I listen to the woman three rows back placating her two small children. I watch the man across the aisle sending text messages and sipping Gatorade on his way to Arkansas to pick up a truck. Who are these people? Where are they going? And what carries them there?
Not a final destination of this coach will be Indianapolis, Indiana. And arriving in Indianapolis at 5 o'clock p.m. Now this schedule will end in Indianapolis. You will change buses there for all points.
My name is Cameo Colbert. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I'm going to Lexington, Kentucky. My girlfriend lives there. This is just all my belongings, like all my clothes, everything, because I'm moving. So like actually moving, it's not just for a little while, it's for like permanent. So, and I already shipped some of my stuff to her, so I'm kind of excited. I'm leaving like my best friend and my whole family and everything, so I'm pretty sad about it.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together.
It takes 7 hours to reach Indianapolis.
I've got some real estate here in my bag.
And in that time, I come to think of all the other greyhounds crisscrossing this country, all the people they carry, all the bus stops and rest breaks, the luggage handlers, ticket clerks, drivers.
To look for America.
This is quite different. This is from the famous Sound of Sport that I made. I really enjoy mixing things where or putting things together where you kind of illustrate something. I really, and you can often do that in music docs where you record an interview with someone and they talk about how they wrote a song or how they produced a song, and then you kind of weave the song around it. And as they mention some guitar line, you hear that line. It's always really nice to do that. I tried to do a similar thing here. It's not music. It's actually the Oxford and Cambridge boat race. And so what this is kind of a deconstruction of the soundtrack of the boat race as you hear on TV. And I interviewed the guy the sound supervisor who was in his truck, and he kind of took me through all the channels on this desk. And then what I did is I then married that up with, well, what he gave me a kind of multi-track version, so I had separate channels to work with.
On the boat race, we've got about six different shore sites all the way down the course. We're at Putney at the moment, which is where the boats start, and we've got various stereo effects mics up and down the towpath. And then as we move from site to site moving down the course, we have local effects mics there that are radio linked back to us here, where I can mix them in to the main sound. We also have mics on the crew boats themselves and on the chase boats, so we can pick out the various different effects that we need as the boats move off down the river.
The time has come.
we start off the first half of the program will all be a presentation element when the presenters will be introducing what's going on. Claire Balding will be with us.
And this is the time, their time. Good afternoon. It's just gone 3:45. We are live in the boathouse of last year's winning crew, Cambridge University.
So that's the first element. And then we move into the race itself. And I'm basically moving along my sound desk from left to right. Starting from... Just give us 5 minutes, Joe. I've got a 96 fader mixing desk here. And I'm starting from the left-hand end. I've got my commentary mics down one end.
The first stroke is so important. It has to be good. 600 more to come, but the first one is the platform.
We've got various high-distant effects mics, one up on the hoist, which gives a sort of panoramic view of Putney. Then we move on down towards up to about fader 41 by now. We're into mics in the boathouses themselves. Then we're kind of into the race itself, the start of the race, and we've got the umpire's boat as the umpire gets the race started.
Attention! Go!
Then there's the Oxford and Cambridge boats themselves, and there's two effects mics that hopefully pick up the sound of the rowing. The coxes on the boats have a mic on them, a personal mic on them. Sometimes the language that comes from the cox isn't broadcastable, so we have to have an alternative to go to. And that's part of the, on a live job like this, you've got to work out what the coxes are saying. Is it transmittable? But nevertheless, what they're saying is, it gives you really good information.
Get us into it, stern
four. Crash, ten right here. Go, bow four. Yeah, half a length to move in. That's their bend running out right here, boys. On our right,
going around the bend, boys. Sitting third of a length down.
Nice.
Driving on to it. Driving on
the handle. Stay
every
loose,
seat,
stay relaxed.
Every seat.
Yeah.
Coming in for a clash on strike side
nice
again.
Boy, he's good.
Look at him.
That's that Ben running out.
Look at
right
him.
On that 35
That's
and a half.
It. This is our rhythm, boys.
Yeah.
Keep the flow.
Yeah, boys, let's stay long on the arms.
Blow.
Just think about that earth noise for 10. Think
blow.
About that earth noise.
Blow.
Ready?
Move.
Go.
Coming into the 3.
And then we're into the various shore sites. So there's another 15 faders down there of shore sites, which will be able to pick up the crowds that are locally watching from the various different places on the race. They tend to give us a good bit of colour because they're all having parties. It's about building up a multi-layered oral picture.
Oxford then heading towards victory. It is all but certain. There is Chiswick Bridge at the top of your picture, and the finish line sits just before that. The brewery on the left-hand side, and Sam Winter-Levy does his work again, shouting, not letting up. They will not let up, Oxford.
Cambridge around to the winning post. Oxford two lengths behind, 2.5 lengths behind. Flag's gone down. Cambridge are one. Cambridge are one.
So I was trying to break it down and basically explain that this thing you take for granted when you watch TV sport is actually really, really thought about and really, really quite complicated and almost like a feature film mix.
You've been listening to a Rig Train Masterclass supported by the Radio Independence Group and Creative Skillset, independent training for the UK radio production industry.